You're listening to the Burst Boss Scottish Football Podcast.
Oh, Scotland go for an imminent end! He's done it again! James McFadden scores for Scotland! France are stunned and Scotland lead in Paris!
Hello, you are listening to the Bursport Scottish Football Podcast number 251. It's a while since I've said that. I am Hamish Carter. I'm back for one episode and one episode only. And the reason, if you're wondering why we're back so soon after we made the big announcement on our last show saying it would be a fortnight before we were back, is because, in case you've missed it, there's been massive news today from the world of Scottish football. Perhaps unexpected, perhaps expected. We'll get onto that in a wee minute. But Alec McLeish is no longer the head coach of the Scottish national team. He's been mutually relieved of his duties today after a board meeting between the seven SFA board members. Joining me on the podcast to chat about all of this, where it went wrong for McLeish and what the future holds for Scottish football, I do have Andrew Scott.
Thanks for having me on, Hamish. Good to be
no
on.
Worries. It's good to have you on, mate.
Yeah, it's just kind of free from the shackles that is university, so relatively stress-free and looking forward to a riveting podcast, shall we say that.
And one man who knows all about the stress of university is Callum Fisher.
Good afternoon, Hamish. Bit of a throwback Thursday for me and you today.
That may or may not have been a reference to your law exam from, third or fourth year? Or should we not go into that?
I think it was both years, resits and such. But I passed it, that's the main thing.
Yes, very well done. We'll kind of leave the law chat for there, and we will, of course, touch on all of the Alec McLeish stuff. I'll just get your guys' thoughts immediately. Just kind of lay your cards on the table. I'll read out a couple of the bare bones of the McLeish tenure, certainly the second time round, if we just limit it to that. In total, 12 games in charge, 5 wins, 7 defeats. Funnily enough, no draws, which is a wee bit bizarre, maybe. And if you kind of limit that just to the competitive matches, he played 6, he won 4. And he lost 2. That's not a bad record, Andrew.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I think you kind of be surprised he's losing his job. But when you look at the last 2 results especially, I think it's clear to see. And I think everyone kind of expected that it would come sooner rather than later. I don't think he's sort of captured the imagination of the players. You've sort of seen with all the dropouts throughout the past in his squads. And he's certainly not captured the imagination of the fans. He had them booing him in San Marino. So it's not a surprising dismissal for me. But ever the optimist, I am looking forward to see what the next chapter in Scottish football holds for us.
You say that you're not surprised. Are you surprised by the amount of time it's taken? Because I think it's near on a month since that last game against San Marino.
Yeah, I think it was just over, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, Keith Jackson kind of reported that he'd be leaving. So I guess when you look at that, I'm surprised it has took this long. But again, I'm not surprised that it has went. I think there could be something underlying here. They're maybe going to try and cover their backs if I believe what's going to happen does in fact happen. But I'm happy nonetheless that he has left.
I'm very intrigued by what you mean by that.
Well, obviously, we've kind of discussed it in the chat, but I do kind of buy into that as well. I think there's something wrong in terms of his maybe medical record. I think that's going to come out in the future. And I think dismissing him this early just sort of covers their backs to say, oh, well, we didn't know that at the time sort of thing. But we shall see. It's just speculation, as I say.
Aye. I mean, that's been a... I think the two trends you'll take from the McLeish tenure has been the speculation in the latter stages about his job and all that, but the main thing I'll probably certainly take from it, Callum, is, and we don't want to go into it too much because it is based on speculation and rumours, but there has been murmurings and mumblings from the early days that, you know, this is a guy who's certainly a much diminished character from the one that nearly took Scotland to the Euros 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's the old thing, you know, kind of no smoke without fire. Unfortunately, it has been the talk for quite some time now, and obviously, hopefully, if those rumours are true, then he can make the most of his life and enjoy what you could probably imagine now would be his retirement. From football management, I think I never really thought he was the right man to take the job. Obviously, I'm a wee bit biased given the success that Alex McLeish had at my club when I was growing up. So it's never nice to see somebody like that who you grew up with and who you liked struggle. It just seems to have been doomed from the start. I don't think, as Andrew kind of touched on, anybody was really enamoured with the appointment to begin with. It kind of struck me a little bit as a bit of a lazy appointment, to be honest, from the SFA. Obviously, we knew they kind of went after Michael O'Neill and such before that, but yeah, it didn't really capture the imaginations of many Scotland fans. And I think, you know, the Israel game, the first Israel game where we lost 2-1, was kind of the start of people really maybe speculating about his future. And I think obviously the defeat to Kazakhstan pretty much sealed it. It was just a case of when and not if. So as somebody that does like Alex McLeish, and as I mentioned, he did do a lot for my team when I was growing up. I'm sad to see him go, but there's no doubt that it was the right decision.
Yeah, I think by all accounts he's quite a kind of liked guy, quite a respected guy, but there's an element a lot of the time when these things go wrong of, you know, folk in hindsight 2020 vision looking back and saying, oh, I thought from minute one that he wasn't the right guy to get the job in the first place. But I think everyone's almost telling the truth when they say it with this one, because he really wasn't an appointment that kind of enamoured the Scottish sport or the support or the tartan army, if you want to call them that, from day one. He was very much seen as, you know, they went for Michael O'Neill, and it was the fact that was also public. I mean, folk knew the wages that Scotland were offering Michael O'Neill, because Northern Ireland obviously came out and I think gave him more and then went public with all that. So that was also public. And then I think there was a wee thing with like Walter Smith and stuff and loads of other folk that were mentioned. They ended up with McLeish. It was just such a kind of really damaging ordeal for the SFA bringing him in. And it never really kicked off, did it, his tenure, because you look at the games and the early defeat to Costa Rica. I mean, I know that was only a friendly, and I know we won in Hungary, but there was loads of really alarming friendly results in there even before we got to the competitive games, Andrew, that were worrying, and the signs were there basically from day one.
Yeah, I think in fairness, and I think he touched upon it as well, he wasn't sort of in charge when these sort of friendlies were announced. But then again, when you get given a job, you kind of need to take that into account.
He did take the credit for them when he was chatting about, I can't remember exactly what he was talking about, but I think it was in the lead up to the Kazakhstan game when he was talking about how they had so many injuries and they had so many fringe players who were able to play, and he said, oh, but that was the benefit of having those games in South America, because the likes of O'Donnell and all that got to play. And I was like, you can't take, you know, the credit for all of that and then also say I had nothing to do with it.
Nah, I think you're spot on, but you kind of just alluded to the fact that I think was the maybe one of the only positives in his second reign, sort of the amount of chances he took with the youth players sort of coming into the squad. It's probably not like bloodied in as much as you kind of would have liked. But again, he did play the youth, so I think you need to give him credit for that.
And you touched on the dropouts there, Andrew. I mean, what do you guys think of that? Because that was a sign probably in the early days that, you know, if things aren't going too well, players are more likely to drop out of the squad. And when you see how well things were going under Strachan in the last 6 months of his tenure, you were getting very few players withdrawn for squads and everyone was wanting to be part of it. But when it got to the cliche stuff, there was, I mean, for pretty much every, you know, international break, there was 5, 6, 7 players. I mean, I think we were up at about double figures for that last one against Israel and who's the other team, Albania. And it's crazy. I mean, it just showed for me from an outset that the players kind of weren't totally behind them. And you touched on the fans as well, because they made their feelings pretty clear, Callum, when they were in the San Marino booing the team despite winning, and it was very clear at that point that there was no way back for McLeish.
Yeah, I think so. As I say, the Kazakhstan game was really just, the writing was on the wall. It was just a case of when and not if. I think, again, I felt sorry for McLeish because of the dropouts. As you say, you had large numbers of players deciding, and you get it, I think, probably with every international break, you get the odd one or two that obviously pull out, and some genuinely are injured, and obviously some have maybe been told by their club or whatever to maybe just pull out because there's important fixtures ahead. But when you're getting, you know, as you say, eight or nine, it does start to make you wonder about whether the players are just, you know, they having maybe worked under McLeish, I've just decided that they don't want to play for him, and they don't want any part of it, and they just don't have any faith in him. And I think that was probably evident. Even the players that were there, as we saw by results, as I say, against Kazakhstan, Israel, San Marino wasn't great. There wasn't really any particularly great performances from Scotland under McLeish in the second. Any second stint, I think you see that the players that even were there probably didn't really look like they believed in him, and at times, to be honest, looked like they'd rather be anywhere else in the world than playing for Scotland. So I think certainly the dropouts did hamper him, but the players that were there as well were just as bad, because a lot of them just didn't turn up, and didn't show anywhere near the kind of form or put on the kind of displays that we know they can at club level. So I think just I don't as obviously McLeish is taking the fall here in terms of he's the one that's been sacked, but I think it's something that needs to be looked at in terms of the SFA board for appointing him in the first place, for then seemingly making a mess of even sacking him as well. Obviously McLeish and his backroom staff are obviously culpable as well, but the players, I don't think anybody comes out of this situation particularly good, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know the way it goes is the fact that you can't really sack a whole team of players in the minute a new manager comes in and start playing well, they'll be the best players in the world again, or not far off it. Anyway, in terms of Euro 2020, if we bring it on to that, obviously in the back burner we've got this playoff tie, you know, we've got, I think it's Finland at the moment, depending on how they get on in their qualification. But if it stays the same way, you've got Finland at Hampden in a one-off game, and then I think it's like Serbia or someone else in a final, could be at Hampden, could be away from home. So theoretically, you could, no matter what happens in the group stage, you could be two home games away for qualifying for Euro 2020. But as it is in the group stage, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. The first way to look at it would probably be we're second bottom in a group when we've already played San Marino and Kazakhstan. I mean, not two of the best teams in the group, and we're still second bottom. The other way you could look at it is we're joint second, because we've got the same amount of points as, I think, Russia, Cyprus and Kazakhstan, and we've only played, what, 2 out of 10 games, a fifth of our campaign. So, I mean, there's a long way for, or a you know, a big opportunity for the right guy to come in, Andrew, and turn it around for us.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I think I'm sort of with the first category of that. I mean, you played probably your easiest two fixtures of the group so far, and you're lying second bottom.
I think someone pointed out we've got a minus goal difference.
Yeah, minus one.
Pathetic, isn't it? Yeah. But it's like, I think, I don't know, like, obviously it's a good thing we've got this playoff spot, but I honestly believe, see, going into these two games, you just kind of took it for a given, like, as in the players, like, we should beat these two mediocre teams, if you could sort of label it like that, and they just kind of thought, well, we've got a path into Euro 2020, like, this is just like a backup, like, I think if that playoff spot wasn't there in the first place, they would have maybe tried a bit more. I would like to have thought they might have tried a little bit more, and I think that kind of hampered performances. Not to excuse any of the players, because don't get me wrong, I was just as raging as everyone else, but I think with that sort of looming in the background, it was sort of like a safety net, and I don't think they kind of tried as much as they could have off the back of that.
Well, that's certainly worrying. I mean, just looking at the games coming up, you've got, I think it's 8th and 11th of June. The 8th, we've got Cyprus at home, and then we're away to Belgium. Obviously, that's a tough ask, but in many ways, you know, if they get a manager in as soon as possible, those games are still the guts of 2 months away, so it's a good opportunity to get a manager in. And those fixtures, actually, the way I see it, aren't too bad. You know, Cyprus at home, I know, as you're saying, you can't ever take anything for granted, but that is a match at home in front of, hopefully, a kind of good Camden crowd if it's a new manager's first game. It's a very, very winnable game. Then you go into Belgium away, and obviously no one's expecting anything in that game, so you've almost got a free hit at that match. It's a good couple of games to get under your belt, and I'm just wondering if that's come into the thinking of now, why now is the right time to change manager. I've got a quote here from the SFA chief exec Ian Maxwell that was taken for the statement, and he says, We firmly believe we have the potential to recover from the opening group defeat and unlock the potential of this exciting squad of players for the remainder of the campaign, safe in the knowledge that we also have the playoffs as an additional route to Euro 2020. So it sounds like they've kind of listened to the fans in this one, and you know, there's still a bit of time to get this one right. But I mean, what do you make of those fixtures coming up, Callum? Because are they good ones that are, you know, good for a manager to get his foot in the door and hopefully get 3 points home to Cyprus and then a bit of a free hit in Brussels?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Cyprus at home, you would imagine, I suppose we said this about Kazakhstan away, but you would imagine if we get a new manager in, and this obviously depends on who it will be, and I certainly don't have much faith in the SFA to have the competency to get a decent appointment in. I wouldn't be surprised if they go for the easy option again, and somebody like Malky Mackay. But yeah, you're right, Cyprus at Hampden, we should be beating them with the players that we should have available, and you'd like to think, whether you agree with this or not, the players that potentially under McLeish would have at the end of the season pulled out. We'll see this as a chance to impress a new manager and just a bit of a fresh start, so we should have a stronger squad. Belgium, as you say, away is a free hit. I think Belgium, in all honesty, could probably batter us in that game, but if we can get the win against Cyprus, and then again, nobody would have expected anything in Brussels against Belgium anyway, if we get through the Cyprus game, we've beaten Cyprus, and then obviously we lose to Belgium, then I think people will take that. However, I think it will need to be managed by the SFA quite carefully, and I think you'd find that if they do go down the easy route and go for somebody like Malky Mackay, or even I think Strachan was the bookie's favourite after the news broke about McLeish today, if they make an appointment that the fans don't like and we scrape through against Cyprus and then get battered off Belgium, then we're going to just be in a similar kind of position than we've been under McLeish. So it all depends on really who the new manager is going to be. But as I say, Cyprus at Hampden is a very kind fixture for whoever that may be.
In terms of what Scotland need right now, Andrew, what would you say? Can I keep names away from it, like potential managers? What does Scotland need in terms of their new manager?
I suppose the easy answer to that is nothing that's been done before, not another backward step. So I try to keep names away from it. I think we should be trying to cast our net, if you want to imagine that, as wide as possible.
Are you one of these guys that thinks we should be looking at Bilic and Lagerbäck and folk like that?
Maybe no Bilic, but again, I'm kind of open to ideas. But again, we have kind of went down that road in the past. But ever the optimist, I'm open ears, to be fair.
I've got written down here a manager that isn't afraid to take a risk, and you know, we'll play exciting players together. I just feel like only in Scotland could we have probably our two best players in the same position and make such a meal about how we play them. I just want a manager to come in and not, you know, fanny about with various things like that, just to simply, and I know obviously you have to have tactics of some level, and I want a tactically competent manager, but to a certain extent, I want a manager that can put our best players in the team, find a way to fit them in that works to his strategy and can, you know, put our best players in the pitch. I just feel like there's so much talking goes on about, like, if you do limit it to that one about Tierney and Robertson, and it was similar with Fraser for a while, Fraser and Forrest, I seem to remember, and I just think get these best players in the park, and I just like a manager who's not afraid to take a bit of a risk, because I think just so many of our previous managers, the last two certainly, Strachan especially, was so bad for, you know, you've got a player playing really well out of his skin. McGregor's the one that kind of shouts or screams out to me, and he was just so reluctant to take a chance and put players in. I'd quite like a manager that's not afraid to do that and will play the best players who are playing on form. But I think the main thing we're probably looking for, Callum, is just to get a manager who's going to reunite the nation and also, you know, excite the nation as well and get the fan base back on their side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overly fussed about Scotland playing exciting football. I think we just need to be. There needs to be more competency in terms of tactics and being able to get the business done against teams that we should beat, and we struggled with that for years and years. But yeah, I agree. Somebody that can just that knows how they want to play from the get go. But I don't think McLeish did. I think that was quite evident. And somebody that, as you say, will put the best players on the park. And we'll settle on a settled kind of system. And I think that would then encourage the players. And somebody that can organise the team as well. And as I say, just give us the best chance possible. I know it's quite an easy thing to say, but we haven't. I don't believe we've had the manager that has given us the best chance possible. Yes. Of qualifying, mm-hmm. probably since McLeish the first time round, maybe even going further back to Walter Smith before him. I've not really.
It's a disastrous run of appointments, isn't it? When you look at it, and you look at, you know, I don't know the exact order, but you think of George Burley and Craig Levine, and well, if you want to bring it on to McLeish, and I'm sure there was a few others in that space as well, and you're just thinking like, what have these guys brought to the role at all? It's almost as if they've gone into the role. You know, Burley was held in decent regard when he went in, and I mean, what's he done since then? And you could say similar about Levine to a certain extent, and the fact that they've really suffered, and it seems like they're mm-hmm. all cut for the same cloth. They're all just kind of dour appointments. I just feel like we really need mm-hmm. someone, a young manager who's on the up and can, you know, inspire everyone. I mean, for me, you look at, if we can come on to the names, you look at the other home nations, and England are the one that springs out, really doing really well under a guy that probably wouldn't have been a fancied choice from the get-go, Gareth Southgate. I mean, I think he'd managed Middlesbrough for a season, but apart from that, he'd not really stepped into management. They gave him a chance because he was young, he knew the academy, he knew the youth system, how it worked, he knew how the FA wanted to work, and that's paid off for them big time. Wales seem to be doing quite well under Ryan Giggs, another guy who hadn't had a job prior to that. You know, Ireland, I know, have got Mick McCarthy in at the moment, but they've got the young guy, Stephen Kenny, kind of primed to take his job in about a year or so. So they're clearly planning for the future. Meanwhile, what are we doing? We're just kind of stoting around, picking, you know, kind of bits of debris off the scrapyard that have been there and have done it, but they're not really planning doing it again. And I just feel like I really want a young, Scottish, attractive coach. And whether we can get one of them
Jack
in...
Ross.
That's exactly the kind of guy I'm pinpointed out. But whether we can get someone like that in, I don't know whether Jack Ross would take it right now if he gets Sunderland up. But for me, that's the kind of, you know, that's the DNA we should be going for as a Scotland manager. Someone who's on the up, a young manager who knows the game, that's still got something to prove. I mean, like, God forbid if it's someone like David Moyes or that. I mean, Christ almighty, where are we going if that's the case?
Yeah, true. I think a lot of talk as well has been about Scott Gemmell, just as you were taught, obviously you were discussing Gareth Southgate there for England. It would be a similar kind of appointment. He's done quite well with the under-21s. For me, I've said all along that Scotland, first of all, need to be organised and need to be difficult to beat, and we need a manager that can get the best out of. Now, don't get me wrong, we've got a good group of players, but in the grand scheme of things, there's still a lesser group of players when you consider, obviously, the kind of top teams in Europe. For me, that guy is Steve Clarke. Whether he would take it or not, I don't know. Obviously, there's been talk that he may be heading back down south in the summer, so I would imagine he would rather go down to, you know, the championship or whatever than he would take the Scotland job. But I've said all along, I think he would be the ideal candidate. You've seen what he's done at Kilmarnock. He's got a lot, no disrespect to Kilmarnock, they've been fantastic since he's come in, but I don't believe they would be in as good a position as they are without Steve Clarke as their manager. He's got more out of a lesser group of players, but he's also brought players along. You just look at that with, you know, like Stephen O'Donnell being in the Scotland squad, for example, and Kilmarnock now being one of the top teams in the league outside of Rangers and Celtic, which a couple of years ago was absolutely not the case. So for me, I think he would be worth the relative risk, because obviously there is always an element of risk involved with any managerial appointment, particularly at Scotland, whereby we seem to just, you know, we seem to have all this optimism, McLeish reign aside, second reign aside, and it never seems to go the way we hope. But he, for me, would be the ideal appointment, in my opinion. I just think he would get more out of a lesser group of players, and he's created a real, from the outside looking in at Kilmarnock, he's created a real unified squad that fight for each other and fancy themselves up against anybody, whether that be Rangers, Celtic or whoever. And I think that's the kind of manager we need. But I do think it would take an awful lot of persuading on the SFA's part for him to take no more offers from down south and take the Scotland job.
I can't disagree with you, Fisher. I think sort of someone similar, and again, this is just typical sort of Scottish timing. Your likes of Alec Neil or something like that, he's just signed a new contract with Preston, I believe.
Preston.
And again, you're kind of, Hamish, you kind of touched on it earlier on, but he's sort of this like young and hungry manager. He's done tremendous at the rivals across the Clyde at Aki's, got Norwich promoted, and he's doing very decent down at Preston now, hence the sort of contract. But again, I think it's just the timing's just laughable. It's just typically Scottish, to be fair. I think sort of a person kind of like that, if it isn't sort of like Jack Ross's, and sort of the big obvious one, Steve Clarke, is kind of someone you should be sort of hoping the board would appoint.
Because there's two ways to look at the next manager. A, you come into the Scotland job and straight away you're under pressure. I think unless you're Pep Guardiola and you come in with a massive fanfare, you're straight away under pressure. That's one way to look at it, and the fact that if you get off to a rocky start or whatever, the knives will come out for you. But I think another way to look at it is the fact that, you know, we haven't qualified for, if it's by the time it gets to 2020, it'll be 22 years since we've qualified. And if you're the guy that takes Scotland back to a major championship, then you're going to be a legend forever. You're going to be remembered in great terms. And surely that's got to appeal for a manager. Surely that's the kind of the bargaining tool that you would certainly hope the SFA would be going in with. I mean, I've got very little faith in them, but surely that's the main thing you'd be saying. Look, give us 2 years, take us to Euros, and you go down as a legend, and you go on to a good job then, we don't care, you go to the English Premier League, whatever, but you leave as a real legend of the Scottish game, because that's what they would be. And I mean, there's I've got Derek McInnes written down here. Does he kind of fit into that youthful manager still hungry, or does his big game mentality kind of halt him in that? I mean, Aberdeen, I suppose you could argue it's been the small games that have let them down this year, but there still is that argument with him.
Well, I mean, we'd probably get to numerous playoffs, we'd just lose them all. But I can see that. I just think, from my perspective, Steve Clarke's just a lot more tactically astute than Derek McInnes, and I think, as you say, there are big question marks over McInnes's big kind of game mentality and the way his teams seem to wilt under the pressure of big games. Now, obviously, the answer to that would be that they have, for example, came to Ibrox this season and came away with results. They consistently get to cup semi-final and finals. But, as I say, in the international stage, that would be equivalent to getting to playoffs or getting in positions whereby we maybe only need to take 1 point away from home or something like that to qualify from a group. And then I think if that were to happen, then there would be a lot of pressure on McInnes, and I don't know whether he'd be able to handle that. So for me, I think McInnes would be a bit of a risk. But I would probably say McInnes is more likely, just because of the situations of either manager, him or Clark. I would probably say McInnes is more likely to get the job than Clark would at this time, just because I think Steve Clark's obviously got probably more options down south, and whereas maybe McInnes is coming to the end of his tenure at Aberdeen after being there for such a long time.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, there's a few other names that have been branded around. I won't go into the odds because I think they mean very little, but there's, I think, Gordon Strachan's been mentioned. I mean, surely there's nothing in that Strachan, after the way it ended for him and the various things that have happened since then and some of the comments he's made. Surely, I mean, there'd be no way back for him as Scotland manager. David Moyes, as I mentioned earlier, I'd really hope that there's nothing in those rumours. I mean, what's he done in the last 5-6 years? Very little. And there's loads of shouts like that. Where do you think we'll end up with this one, Andrew? Will we end up with the guy we want, or will we end up with a McLeish-like appointment?
Well, I think we all know we're going to end up with someone that we don't want. But you kind of touched on Strachan. I think it's quite frustrating when you sort of look at Strachan, because at the end of the day, he was a failure. He had, what, two and a bit campaigns to get us somewhere.
Yeah.
And he failed on both occasions. And to sort of go back to him is an even bigger backward step that I believe than it would have been sort of hiring McLeish in the first place. So I don't want that, but you can't really discount the SFA for like doing something like that. As for
well,
sure.
everybody was utterly sick of Strachan by the end as well. It just achieved nothing.
But it was weird because his team was playing quite well, but he just made these daft comments. I mean, the stuff about genetics and all that. He shot himself in the foot with stuff like that.
He's a difficult character, I think, to like. I think to put it mildly. I just think that would be such a backward step, but such an SFA step, if you know what I mean. I just don't think that there's any value in getting Strachan back.
I know you don't really look at the odds, Hamish, but I'm sort of on odds checker the now, and Big Sam Allardyce is 10-1. What a shout that would be, by the way.
I mean, is he Tom McKinnon was on Twitter earlier. I know he was bumping his gums about that. Is that? I won't speak for Tom, but in general, is that a tongue-in-cheek appointment? Are you at it, or is that a serious, you know, suggestion?
Well, he's used to sort of coming into clubs that are sort of like going down, sort of thing. I wouldn't really suggest the Scottish national team is sort of any different. Obviously. They aren't a club, you know what I mean, country-wise, but I don't even know if he'd be up for it, to be honest. I don't even know. Was he not interviewed in the past and he said that he was no interested or something? But I think it kind of sort of like a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Well, if he did that, he'd become the first man ever to manage Scotland and England, which would be a pretty cool kind of trait to have. I think he managed England for one game, didn't he?
Lithuania.
Yeah.
I don't know where the SFA will get the money from if you're suggesting Allardyce, then I just don't think you're really living in the real world, to be honest. This is a guy that made $6 million after leaving Everton as a payoff. Do you know what I mean? There's absolutely no way that the SFA can afford that. It's not going to be Allardyce, in my opinion.
I've got a couple other left field shouts. Feel free to shoot me down by either of these. David Wagner.
You would think he would get a job down south.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mark Hughes?
No.
No.
No chance.
No.
That was a kind of definitive rejection there, and that's fair play. Have you guys got any other names there?
I don't know. I was reading something earlier on, and they sort of shortlisted Michael O'Neill again. And sort of the reason was there's like a new sort of head in charge. Well, obviously, you touched upon it at the start of the podcast. It was well documented what he was getting with Scotland and Northern Ireland, sort of thing. But with a new sort of person in charge, you never know what kind of magic wonders he could sort of talk O'Neill into it. I think he would be a great appointment, but unfortunately, I think that ship has sailed, which is why he's so far down in the betting, I believe.
So just kind of to round it off, because it's going to be a short podcast, because there's only so much we can say for now. Just kind of let us know, start with you, Fisher, just how you see this playing out.
I can very, very well see the SFA appointing from within.
You're not referring to a Mr. Mackay, are you?
See, that's the fear I have. I just think that would be the most SFA thing for them to do.
I think I'll give up in football if that happens.
I mean, the thing is, though, is I might be a bit tongue-in-cheek saying it, but it's not exactly out with the realms of possibility. There's more chance of Mackay getting it than somebody like Sam Allardyce, and there's probably more chance of them appointing him than Steve Clarke, to be honest. It's kind of what Andy said earlier. It's probably going to be somebody that we don't want. The SFA are not the most progressive of organisations. I think it's a lot of it is a big kind of jobs for the boys type act, and I've said for years I think there needs to be a shake up of the SFA and the SFA board and the way we do things if we're going to properly get anywhere. But fingers crossed, I hope they say to Steve Clarke, kind of what you were saying, Hamish, you know, if you can give us a year to 18 months get us to the Euros, and then we're happy for you to move on. Because, I mean, the way to look at it, granted, Roberto Martinez has got one of the best kind of pools of players to work with at Belgium, but when he left Wigan, there was nobody that thought he was going to be linked with the jobs that he's now getting linked with, you know, kind of higher end Premier League and European jobs because of how well he's doing with Belgium. As I say, granted, he's got a fantastic group of players, but that's the kind of thing you need to say to somebody like Steve Clarke. Look, if you can take these talented group of players, but obviously we need to try and get more out of them, you can improve Scotland from a position whereby this very well could turn out to be wrong, but the only real way is up with somebody like Steve Clarke, if he's appointed. And as I say, if he can come in and do the job, get us to the Euros, have a respectable showing at the Euros, then the jobs that he's being touted for at the moment down south are still going to be there, in terms of, you know, the kind of stature of jobs he's been linked with, and potentially even better jobs than that. So I'm hoping the SFA sees some sense. Unfortunately, getting rid of McLeish was the first one. It was the first bit of sense that they've seen, as sad or as bad as I do feel for Alex McLeish. But hopefully they realise that the job that Steve Clarke's done at Kilmarnock and in the summer, or obviously hopefully before that, they kind of make a plea to him and kind of lay out what him being successful at Scotland can do for his career. So that's the ultra positive mindset I'm taking, but I would not be surprised to see, as I say, Malky Mackay or a Moyes or somebody like that.
Just really, really hoping that it's someone of, you know, Clark's stature that the fans want, because this is a team that is so clearly underachieving. I was listening to George Burley, we mentioned him earlier, I was listening to him in Sky Sports earlier, chatting about how McLeish wasn't to blame and before him Strachan wasn't to blame, that Scotland simply don't have the players anymore. And I just found myself banging my head against the wall, because anyone who looks, I've got a team written in front of me here, and it's just a loose team. It goes Bain, Tierney, McKenna, Souter, Robertson, McTominay, McGregor, Forrest, Armstrong, Fraser and Griffiths for argument's sake. And for me, you're not telling me that's not a team that can qualify and be one of the 24, remember, 24 teams to qualify for the Euros. That's a good team that could, for me, compete probably lower end of the Premier League in the main. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good players. Andy Robertson, probably one of the best left-backs in Europe at the moment, honestly. Scott McTominay, watched him play for Man United the other night, mm-hmm. and he was probably their best player, certainly in the first half before I switched it on in the Nou Camp. He didn't actually, for all how much they were outclassed, he didn't actually look too out of his depth. He looked quite good. Ryan Fraser has been, I think he's second or third in the Premier League assists, ranking ahead of, like, you know, crazy like Salah and players like that. Like, he's just had an amazing season. Talking about him going for 20 million to Arsenal, you've then got, you know, the a few other players like some McGregor and Tierney who are really kind of good players that have shown at a European level. It's a team that, I mean, I've not worked out the average age. It's probably looking at it roughly 23, 24. I mean, this is a team that could be the Scotland team for the next 8, 9, 10 years. And if you get a good manager and some sort of succession plan, I just think that it's got so much potential that it's just a team that's so clearly underperforming. I mean, a team that only put 2 past San Marino and lost 3-0 to Kazakhstan. I don't see how anyone else can say that it's not underperforming. And if we just get a manager in that gets the best out of them, and I don't really care who it is, as long as it's a manager that can come in and can be universally accepted by the fans, because you know what the fans are like. And if you think the reaction was bad with McLeish, imagine this, the way things are at the moment, what the fans will be like if it is like a Mackay appointment or a Moyes or someone like that. It'll be desperate stuff, and you've been hiding to nothing from the early days. So I'm just personally really hoping it's someone. Steve Clarke, for the record, is the guy I'm putting forward. I hope that's who it is, but if not, yeah, I hope it's, you know, someone who can really get, you know, an exciting manager that can get the team playing to their capabilities. Because if that team get firing to the level that they play at for club teams, I mean, as I've just highlighted, we've got three players who play for good Premier League teams and are standouts for good Premier League teams in the case of Robertson and Fraser. If you can get those two firing as well as all the other players, I mean, we can qualify for major championships, no doubt about that for me. Andrew?
You're spot on. I can't disagree with what you said. You want an ambitious appointment, someone that will get the tartan army flooding back into Hampden for the first game. You want a good buzz about the place. I mean, for Christ's sake, Hampden's hosting some of the games at the Euros. That should be a big enough initiative as it is to qualify. The squad in itself should be qualifying. They're underperforming and they need to sort of shoulder some of the blame so far. But an appointment, and for the record, that's who I kind of hope I'll pray for anyway. An appointment such as Steve Clark will get the better of them, and it'll get the fans back on side. It'll get us all believing again for about the 50th time, and hopefully we'll qualify. But that remains to be seen, unfortunately.
It does indeed. Well, we're just shy of the 40-minute mark. I think we'll call it a day there, guys. Do very much appreciate your company to chat about what could, when we look back, be a momentous day in Scottish football history, or it could just be enough Monday. I mean, who knows the way the SFA goes. But thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
In terms of Burst Ball, well, I don't really have a clue what's happening in the main, but I know that the guys are hoping to be back in a couple of weeks when they'll be continuing their theme of the kind of looking at the more general areas of Scottish football. We just felt we had to do a bit of an emergency podcast today, given the news. So thanks very much for your time. Listen, hope you enjoyed the show, and remember you can get in touch. I think we're Burst Ball Podcast on Twitter and Facebook and various things like that. You can probably find us quite easily. But we do appreciate your time, and we'll speak to you very soon.